Hey, it's Murphy Houston, and you're in time for Mile High Magazine, at least my edition of this hour-long broadcast. And it's always fun to talk to different people about what's going on. And a fellow I've talked to many times, good guy, Sam Cole, who's the Traffic Safety Communications Manager for CDOT. Sam, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. Thank you, Murphy.
We always talk about very important things, and I've gone through the stages of teaching teens to drive, and now I have grandchildren who are starting to drive, and I think it's important to talk about that because teens, well, obviously they're at a greater risk. And why is it? Why are teens at a greater risk, do you think, Sam, when it comes to driving and learning how to drive?
Well, the obvious answer, no matter how much we try, is that they are inexperienced. And even though they take the driver's ed and even though they get 50 hours of on-road training before they have to have, before they get their driver's license, you know, they're still inexperienced. And that's why there's some special rules that apply to them in that very first year of driving.
Well, it's changed a lot since I was a kid because I was born and raised in rural Wisconsin. Well, you could drive when you were about 10 if you could get behind the steering wheel, it seemed like. But when you're driving around a big-time city, and I can remember, Sam, in the days when my kids were learning to drive and they did the driver's ed, but even when they got their license, we said, hey, it's got to be a while before you hop in the car with your friends and let's go to downtown Denver and drive. Because that's kind of a risky thing. You got to give that some time, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, when we talk about inexperience, you want their focus 100% of the time to be on the road. And what's going to take your focus off the road? Two things, your phone and your friends. So that's why in that first year of getting your license, there are passenger restrictions. First 6 months as a new teen driver, you're not allowed to have any friends with you, anybody under 21. And until you're 18, you really can't be on your phone at all, not even making a phone call. So just a little sidebar here. That means as a parent or a friend, if you really are interested in the safety of your new teen driver, don't call them when they're driving. You know, if they just left the house and you forgot to say, hey, I need them to pick up something at the grocery store for me, don't call them. I see that all the time. You want them, their focus to be on the road, not talking to you.
And that means not texting too, right, Sam?
Yeah, you're not allowed to, like, for adults in Colorado, you can use your phone to talk. You just can't use your phone to text. But for a teen driver, you cannot even touch that phone to talk, text, do anything.
Now, let's back up just a tad. Those couple of things you mentioned about not having other kids in the car when you drive for a year and et cetera, is that a state law? Those are actual laws?
Yeah. Yep. So there's special rules. It's called the Graduated Driver's License Program. Mandatory seatbelts. In other words, you can be pulled over if you're not buckled up. You know, zero tolerance for being on your phone, those passenger restrictions, curfews. And I tell you, Murphy, this is something that's cut the number of traffic deaths in half amongst teens. We used to see far more teens killed on our roadways until these rules went into effect. So I think it's a huge success story when it comes to traffic safety laws.
Well, and now, and not all teens take driver's education, which, of course, is very vital. So how do they learn about these laws if they don't? If they're just parent-taught, is there a place to go to find out about these laws you just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, they can go to our website, co-teendriver.com. But really, I mean, you're going to have to take a test in order to get your license. So it's not like anybody can just, you know, get 50 hours on the road with their parent and then get handed a driver's license. So there's a lot of vetting that goes on. But you're right. If you live in a rural area of Colorado where there is no driver's ed, you have to rely on a parent or a guardian to teach you. And but in the end, there is that test you have to take, and that will kind of inform you of all these graduated driver's license laws.
Why is it so hard to get driver's ed out in the rural areas, Sam? Is that, I thought most high schools offer that. Has that gone away? Schools just don't offer it?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the problem. You and I growing up, they always affiliated with the high schools. You don't see that as much anymore, as far as I know. But it is hard in rural areas to find a driver's ed program. And I think the stipulation is if the closest driver's ed program is 30 miles or more away, then you are exempt from enrolling in a driver's ed academy and actually the number of hours you have to spend behind the wheel increases from like 50 to 65 or something before you can get your driver's license. And then the other thing, if you're in an urban environment, you go to driver's ed, you have to get 6 hours behind the wheel with a professional driver's ed instructor. So that you don't have to do in a rural area, which is problematic because you want a professional, not your grandma or not your Uncle Harry training you how to drive, because they're just going to pass on to you all of their bad driving behaviors. And worst case scenario might be something, no, you don't need to wear a seatbelt. That's just something for the highway. I mean, all these things that could influence you because, you know, who's the greatest influence on your driving? It's going to be your parents.
Absolutely true. And because you learn in a rural area, sometime or another, you'll be driving in a big city and you better know what's going on, right?
Yeah. It's not only the big cities, but really anywhere. I mean, our speed limits on our highways are much higher than they were when you or I were growing up. You know, our cars are much faster, much more complicated than they used to. But, you know, Murphy, we tend to see higher rates of traffic deaths in rural areas of the state. So it's kind of a misnomer that it's more dangerous to drive in urban environments. It's also dangerous to drive in rural environments.
Yeah, because you get a little more careless because you think, oh, it's wide open here. I can just do what I want. And that's a big mistake. But still, despite the fact they don't have access to driver's ed or whatever, they're learning from their parents, they still have to pass the written test, right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. So you got the written test there at the end. But written test is a written test. It's not necessarily a skills test. And you really need that skills test. And I don't know, to tell you the truth, like when I was growing up, you had to pass the written test and the driving skills test. And I would assume that's still true. But I know things get looser as you get older as a teen. If you delay getting your driver's license to 17, 17 and a half, 18 years old, the rules really loosen up. And that's actually why a lot of kids today are delaying getting their driver's license until they're 17 or 18, because it's easier to get one.
Oh, that's not a good move, though, right? You're not learning everything you should learn? I mean, my.
No. So, no, and AAA actually came forward with some legislation in Colorado, I think it was last year, to kind of get that cleaned up, get that legislation kind of more stringent, but it didn't go through.
Well, let's talk a little more about driver's ed. Maybe, Sam, you can address the fact that driver's ed, why is it so important? What else do you learn besides the fact you get behind a steering wheel with a guy that's a professional?
Yeah, well, driver's ed really goes into all those what ifs. And with an instructor next to you, the instructor can give you all sorts of scenarios that could happen driving behind the wheel of a vehicle. They take you to the mountains. They take you in different weather environments. They want to make sure you're prepared for all sorts of situations on the roadway, rural areas, urban areas. That is so important. If you're just being taught by, you know, Uncle Larry, they're just going to take you down the same road. You're going to get used to that same road every single time, and you're going to have overconfidence. And I think a lot of kids just don't understand how unprepared they are for all the different scenarios. And only thing that you can really learn is through experience. And that's right. Why it is so important just to have that time behind the wheel.
And then they test you, too, because I remember when my two older grandchildren both went through driver's ed, they took a test at the end of that before they took the test to get their driver's license. Does that still hold true?
I mean, are you talking about the permit?
Yes.
The permit process is, yeah, yep, yep. You got to take the test to get the permit. And then once you get the permit, you got to do 50 hours behind the wheel with an adult. And then you got to enroll in driver's ed and get 6 hours of professional training. And then you take the written test and then you get your license.
Do we find the teen driving problems now around our area, maybe every area in the country, worse? Are the fatalities up? Are they better now because of driver's ed?
Well, that's the problem, and that's why I'm glad we're having the conversation, because, this year we've seen a 53% increase in the number of teen drivers that have been killed on our roads.
53%?
We've seen 61 teen drivers killed on our roads so far this year. So, boy, really, really sad thing to talk about, but it's going up. I hope that it's just a fluke. that it has something to do with whatever and that it will come back down next year. But yeah, that's troubling. That's why we're trying to have these conversations. We want parents to have conversations, even at an early age, with kids about the importance of safe driving. Because I tell you, if you're a parent and you don't buckle up and or you speed or you're on your phone, your kid is going to grow up do the exact same thing when they drive. So set a good role model for your kid. Enroll them in a really good driver's ed program. Make sure that you enforce, as a parent, those special rules that apply to them after they get their license. Those are all things you can do to keep your kid safe.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, we were pretty involved with our kids when they were driving. And even after they did all the driver's ed, got their rules all straight, we still had rules about how far you could drive right away. Just don't jump in the car and head right downtown Denver, because it's a whole different bag than driving out in rural Denver. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that parents do smartly is they actually have a written contract with their kids.
Oh.
Saying, hey, these are the rules. Instead of just verbal, you put it in writing, get them to sign that document. That way they know what it is. Because, you know, that very first year of driving is the most dangerous. So that's why you just have to be so careful. There's really nothing your son or daughter is going to do in their life in those teen years that is more risky than driving. So that's why you as a parent have to really oversee that whole process.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. But that shocking number of fatalities for teens up 53% this year, Sam, that's shocking to me.
I know it is. That's why, I hope it's a wake-up call for folks to pay attention to this issue.
Well, and these unfortunate teens that were in these fatalities, were they trained? Did they do driver's ed? Did they do all the laws of the land without kids in the car? And this thing still happens.
Those are great questions. And I cannot answer that, obviously. But, you know, I think we're going to have to look at that sort of thing to see what we can do differently in the coming years. Because if this continues to happen, I mean, the problem is, Murphy, that we've seen fatalities up everywhere, not just teen driving, but people not wearing seatbelts, people driving impaired, people speeding. We're seeing bad behaviors amongst the general driving population, which is why last year we saw a record number of people killed on our roads, almost 600. So this really kind of is just part of a bigger problem.
And why is that? Is it a COVID thing? I don't know. Are people just impatient? There's so much more traffic now. Bad things are happening. They take it out on the roads. What is it?
Well, this is our theory that during COVID, yes, less law enforcement on our roadways, you know, because our society was kind of shut down. So that was an invitation for people to get out on the road and just let loose and develop these really bad behaviors where, yeah, they were driving impaired and they were speeding, they were driving reckless. Then after COVID, they kind of stayed with those bad behaviors. It was, I guess, hard to give up.
Yeah.
And especially, and we've all seen this, especially amongst those young males who just, you know, kind of don't know any better. And they're the ones that are both the victims and they're the ones that are both the offenders on our roadways. Those are the ones that are just driving so recklessly that are causing a lot of these crashes. So yes, especially if you have a young male driver in your family, please, please have a talk with them about safe driving.
Yeah, good point. Sam Cole, Traffic Safety Communications Manager over at CDOT. On the website, Sam, can you give us that again? Is there driving information there for kids to look at and parents to look at?
Yeah, it's coteendriver.com, coteendriver.com.
Well, Sam, we appreciate the information. You're always good to have on here on Mile High Magazine because you always have good stuff, especially with teen drivers. Boy, you sure not want anything happening to your teen. And you better pay attention, right?
Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you, Sam, for coming on. We appreciate you.
Okay.
And you guys,
Thank you.
It's Mile High Magazine. Now, don't go away. We got some more coming up right now in just a few minutes, a few seconds, actually.